I really don't know how I wound up scheduling to be here on Sunday night. My wife said to me, "What was you thinking?" And I said, "I thought I just scheduled Monday to Saturday." She said, "No, you agreed to stay for Sunday." And my wife said, "That means I must preach, I guess." I said, "Yep, that means you have to preach." And so she's holding the fort and preaching the Word of God in Central City tonight. And appreciate your kindness. We invite you to our camp meeting, Mount Calvary Family Camp. We're up in Mahaffey, Pennsylvania. If you don't know where that's at, don't worry. There's a lot of folks that don't know where that's at. It's near Punxsutawney. If you don't know where that's at, don't feel bad. There's a whole lot of folks that don't know where that's at either. That's an only town that I know that worships a groundhog. He's everywhere. That statues of groundhogs everywhere. And but we have Brother Larry Gibbs Jr. starting Monday to Friday from Fort Smith, Arkansas. Brother Larry is a fine preacher. He's not young anymore. My wife keeps saying I call these preachers young, but they're not young anymore. But I had Larry in youth camp. I'm telling you, I could tell you some stories on Larry, and he's probably afraid I will. Praise God. But one night there was don't tape this, kid. Brother Larry probably wouldn't appreciate it. Maybe I better not tell it. He wouldn't appreciate it. But I was dorm leader. Couldn't get a dorm leader. I wound up being a dorm leader. And I just so tired, Sister Frazier, I just conked out. I mean, and I said to God, "Lord, you know when my eyes close, I'm gonna die. You know, I'm gonna be like a log." And these boys, we had Larry Gibbs and, you know, the Gibbs boys, all of them, and Dusty Cruz. I mean, we had a crew. And there's ambunctious, you know. And I said, "Lord, when I go to sleep, I'm not going to get, you're going to have to help me." That time, you know, I went off to sleep. I don't remember. But I prayed that prayer, and about that time, I put my bed against the door. I figured, hey, you know, you know, I'm outnumbered. I got to do something. So I put my bed against the door. And they slid my bed. They moved it a little bit. They were going under the bed. And they come up to open the door to sneak out. And all of a sudden, the Lord just woke me out of sound sleep. And out of reflex, it had to be God. I reached down and got a head of hair, a handful of hair. Wasn't Brother Larry Jr. It was another one of them young brothers. And all of a sudden I heard him holler, "He's awake. We thought he's asleep. He's awake." And I said, "Whoever's under this bed, and whoever I have a hold of your hair, you better just retreat right now or I'm going to make you as bald as me." I had a handful, man. That's a handful. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, around the time, you know, one time mess around, you know, I wasn't... I said, "Lord, you know," so he just easily back. I know who it was. But we didn't turn no lights on. I heard him whispering. "We thought he was asleep, but he's still awake. We don't know when he's sleeping." And I heard the Lord just say to me, "You can go back to sleep. I'll take care of from here." I just conked right back out. Oh, I tell you, God will help you. I don't recommend that to all dorm leaders, but the Holy Ghost can help you. Praise God. I'm going to tell you. But God is good. But we welcome you. We have a morning speaker that's, you may know him. I don't know. He's not well known. He was about our fifth choice. But matter of fact, pastor hadn't picked a morning speaker for a while. And I said, "If he don't get somebody pretty soon, we're just going to be stuck with whatever." And so we wound up getting Pastor Ron Frazier from Olean Revival Center. I'm only teasing, you know that. Brother Frazier's a good teacher. He's given me a real hard time this camp. I don't know what's in him, but he's really feisty right now. And I hope that feisty spirit gets deliverance. He gets deliverance from it before he comes to Mahaffey. And then we have a singing group coming from Martinsburg, West Virginia. Thank you for the offering. It's going toward missions and going to the work of God. My wife has started a halfway house to help women out of prison, trans, you know, get out and get back into community. And she's trying to get it up and going. And it's just amen, taking a lot of faith and believing God. Amen. And so, amen. So, thank you for that. We've been laboring. God's been good to us and helped us birth that ministry. My wife, it was her vision. It was her burden. I mean, she just, I feel to do it. I want to do it. And stepped on out and believe God, and God helped us. And has a tremendous burden she does for helping those to try to get back on their feet. And it's a tedious ministry. If you ever know anybody that's been addicted, especially if they've been addicted to heavy drugs like cocaine stuff, it's a journey to get them delivered and stay delivered. And so we covered your prayers. Pray for me. Ramadan is starting Tuesday. And so pray for me at the prison. It's a very tense time, very spiritual warfare time, because the Muslims just try to take all over. I mean, they cut our services short because they've got to come and pray. And so it's just a real tense of time. But pray for me and pray that God has saved them. I pray God save Alibaba and the 40 thieves. Praise God. And God touch them and help them. And because they're praying to the wrong God. How many know that? And who isn't even a God, really? The moon God. And so it's sad to watch their dedication go just be vanity and vain. It's really sad. And so, but pray, because it is an opportunity. Because some of them come down, and if we're not totally done, they have to hear the gospel a little bit. And so, you know, do pray. So it's an opportunity to reach out. And we have seen Muslims saved. My wife has prayed for many Muslim on the A unit that will not, to their religion, a woman's not, they're not to shake a woman's hand nor let a woman touch them, but they've let my wife pray for them. And matter of fact, many of them ask me about my wife now, even though she's not in the prison ministry there. They ask about her, and they say, tell her we said hello. And they have deep respect for her. Amen. Praise God. We've seen many, not many, but some come to the Lord. Jewish men come to the Lord. I've seen two or three come to God in the 5 years we've been there. So, you know, the harvest, yeah, that may not sound like a lot, but that is. You come down to Muslims or Jewish, amen, faith. Even Native Americans, we've seen them come to the Lord. And God touched them and helped them. And caused them to know as Sister Brenda says, the chief cornerstone. I like that. I'm going to take that back to them and tell them you're serving the chief. One of them, God healed him and touched him. I'll get to preach in a second. I seem like I'm rambling tonight. I've never rambled yet till tonight. The Lord touched him. He's on the A unit. Something happened to him, and they took some of his brain out. He couldn't talk, and motor skills and things. And my wife would visit him every day in the room, and she'd go in there and pray with him and talk to him about the Lord. And he was Native American. So he come to Christ. She prayed the sinner's prayer with him. And he bobbed his head, and yeah, he wanted to pray. And so she prayed, and he gave his heart to Christ. And the Lord began to touch him and heal him. Couldn't say a word. God touched him. He got stronger and stronger. And one night he come down the chapel. Walked down. He walks down now. He's clear on the other side of the prison. And he walks down. He had a stroke and he limps, but he walks. He won't get a wheelchair. He'll walk. I say to him, Lee, some of them call him Chief, but they make fun of him a little bit. I tell him, don't you make fun of him. He's my friend. Don't you dare. Oh, man. Did I really get on some? Praise God for that. I said, don't you make fun. Christian brothers. Now, I'm telling you. I said, I don't want to hear no more of that stuff. And so he come down and sat in the chair. And my wife said, Lee, I'm glad you're here. And all of a sudden he said, I like to sing. She said, you'd like to what? Sing. He struggled to get up to the microphone. And out of his mouth came, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Now the dry eye in the place, Spirit of God got to moving. And because them men knew that, they knew the condition he was in. And they knew it was a miracle. Even the guard knew the condition he was in and that how God had touched him. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2. I want to read one verse of Scripture and then move from there and go into some other passages of Scripture. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God giving the promise to the children of Israel, "I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army, which I sent unto you." I want to preach tonight, God will restore. Can you say amen? God give the children of Israel a promise here, that if they would repent and call on His name and humble themselves, that God said, "I will," not an angel, not a servant, but God said, "I will personally." And you study it out. There's not a whole lot of scriptures where God says, "I will." But this is one of them where God says, "I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the caterpillar and the cankerworm and all of that." I thought of this, amen, that God is in the business of restoration. But you know, we restore things that back to their original state. That's what restoration means, to bring something back to its original state. But you have to have something to bring back. Most people that restore guns or cars, or at least they've got something to work with. God says here, "I can restore when there's nothing even left." Come on now. That's how great of a God He is. He said, "I can restore when there is so total devastation and there's not even ashes left. There's not even an evidence of anything left. Yet I am a God that can restore the years that have been taken from you." I said to the Lord, "I'd like to preach a message a little different," but He spoke to me on this. Because He said to me, "There's somebody in this tabernacle tonight that has lost some years. The enemy has stolen some things from you. And you're wondering when God is going to ever bring restoration back to you." But I want to encourage you tonight in the Word of God, because there are examples in the Bible where God brought restoration to the children of God. Naomi is a good example, is she not? Amen. Naomi says in the last chapters of Ruth, she's holding the child that Ruth has bared and conceived and bared with Boaz. And she says, the Lord is a restorer of life. Hallelujah. And she holds that child because God has brought her back from Moab, and not only brought her back, but restored to her life in her hands. She lost a lot in Moab. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She lost a lot. And on the journey back, she didn't have anything but Ruth left. Amen. But she's holding this child now and saying, "The Lord has been the restorer." Can you say amen? God is a restorer. He's a God that wants to put things back together. But what's so marvelous about it is, in that portion of Scripture I've read to you, God said, "I can even put something back together that has nothing even remaining of it." That's how miraculous I am. God can pick up the pieces. God can turn around things. God can raise up and move in a mighty way. Can you say amen? I think of a prime example of the Shunammite woman. I like her, and I like her story. She perceives in 2 Kings chapter 4, she perceives that a man of God is coming down her way. Elijah's been coming back and forth and back and forth. And the Bible said she perceived. In other words, she had discernment. There's a lot of folks that don't have discernment today. Amen, bless God. But she had discernment and said, "I perceive this is a holy man of God."
which passes by us continually. She says to her husband, let us make him a little chamber. Let us do something for him and make him a place where he can lay his head down and to pray. And that's the beginning of a miracle for her. Can you say amen? I believe that God moves in small things. I believe that things that God moves on you to do are not insignificant. And I believe that God moves on you for a reason to do what you're supposed to do. And down the road there may be a rippling effect of why you did what you did. Can you say amen? The Shumite woman did not know that doing her deed of kindness and reaching out to the man of God, that God was going to give her a child. Can you say amen? God doesn't say to you, do this and I'll do this, or give this and I'll do that. God's not in the business of that. God just says, obey me and I'll bless you down the road. Maybe you will not see the blessing immediately. Maybe you won't see the hand of God immediately. But God is asking for obedience. Amen. Just simple obedience. And trust him that down the road somewhere, when you need a miracle and when you need a blessing, you've already laid up in store. Can you shout amen? Something for your miracle. Oh, I'm going to preach to myself tonight. Hallelujah. Come on now. Is there anybody in here that need God to restore something and God to turn around something or God to resurrect something? I'm there. I'm like the Shunammite woman. I need a miracle. I need a miracle from God. And so she steps out and says, let's build him a little chamber. Let's do something for the man of God. Now, God did not bless her because she just did that. No, I don't want you to get that idea. Some preachers are preaching, well, do this, give that, and you can buy it, whatever. She wasn't buying a miracle, Brother Rob. She wasn't buying a miraculous. God already knew, and God wanted to do it, and yet God just stirred her heart to do it. Can you say amen? And so you're not buying anything. You're just simply obeying God. God is using you as an instrument for his glory, and down the road he's going to bless you. Can you say amen? You might not be blessed overnight, amen, but God will bless you. God will take care of you. Can you say, if you take care of the work of God and seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added on to you. God will take care of you if you take care of his work. Years ago, amen, many times my children would be deathly sick when I'd preach. And it seemed like every time I'd go out, and I remember one time going out, and my wife called me, and I forget which one it was, and I thought to myself, you know, I need to go home. And I just was in prayer, and just calling on the Lord. And I heard the Lord say to me, if you'll take care of my work, I'll take care of your children. I'll take care of your family. I'll never neglect them. I watch over them. I have reminded my children that they're blessed because of the faithfulness of their daddy. I'm not ashamed to tell them that. I tell them that all the time. God has spared you and God has put you out of some messes because your daddy made up a mind to seek the Lord with all of his heart and put God first. And because of that, God has promised, I'll take care. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't worry. God can take care of the things that you care about. Hallelujah. He moved on her to build a little chamber. That don't sound like much, but it started the process, did it not? What it started was, and the man of God stopped. The man of God now is there. She's surrounded by the presence of the Lord because the man of God is there. And one day, it said it fell on a day. I don't know how long it was from the building of the chamber to the time Elijah stopped there, and how many times he stopped there. But I've got a feeling that she didn't build it on a Monday, and then on Friday got a miracle. Come on now. I believe there was a period of time, Pastor Andrews, where the man of God just came and he just laid his head on the pillow and nothing supernatural happened. I've got an idea that maybe in her mind she said, you know, we did right, but nothing happened. But she wasn't doing it for something to happen. That's when God will really bless you. When you're doing it not to get something back, but you're just doing it in simple obedience. Can you say amen? And in simple obedience, she obeyed God. And so the man of God came, the man of God went, the man of God came, and the man of God went. And the Bible says it fell on a day. It fell on a day that when he come into the chamber and he laid there, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite, call her and let her come before me. And he says to her, what do you need? Come on now. There's a period of time between obeying God and receiving the promise. Had a young Christian the other day say to me, I'm not going to tithe no more because I tithe and nothing's happened. I said, listen, it's a lifestyle. It's not a slot machine. It's not like playing the lottery. Come on now. Paid my tithe so I should get a multitude of money back. That's what they're preaching, I know. But they're preaching that and it's wrong. It's a lifestyle. Can you say amen? And you know what? My son Joshua, he was one like that. Dad, you know what? I pay my tithe and seem like nothing happened. So, you know what? I ain't gonna pay. I said, son, don't go down that road. And he said, well, you know, whatever like that. And then one day in church, as he paid his tithe, began to try to pay his tithe and do what he was supposed to do, the Lord spoke to him and said, give your whole paycheck today.
Now, you have to know my son Joshua. Joshua's a tight. He's tight. He's so tight he squeaks, you know what I'm saying? You have to know Joshua. He's a skeptic. Joshua has to look at it. He's like a Thomas. And when he told me that, I was at a gas station and he pulled in. And he pulled right in. I'm pumping gas and he's telling me. He jumped out of that car and he told me. He said, Dad, God spoke to me last Sunday to put my whole paycheck in. I said, what'd you do, son? He said, obey God. Signed it over and put it in. I said, my, I haven't heard that in a long time. Come on. Then a few days later, he pulled in and said to me, you know what? Amen. I just got a raise. And he said, Tara got a raise too. Come on now. I don't believe immediately. I believe that God let it happen for a while. Come on now. Because it's in those daily times that when you obey God and nothing's happening, is where your faith has to extend itself. It's in those times that the devil tells you, hey, you did that and it was just in your head. And God didn't tell you. And God ain't going to bless you. And God ain't going to answer your prayer. You've heard the lie of the devil, have you not? You have the hounds of hell follow you and try to torment you and tell you you just stepped out and it wasn't God. I'm going to tell you, she didn't do it to get a miracle. But I believe there was a period of time before God stepped in and began to move. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him, hold on. It'll come, but you got to hold on a while. Well, I've held on a week and it hasn't come yet. I'm going to tell you, there are some prayers that I've been praying for 25 years that haven't come yet. But I'm holding on, can you say amen, to an unchanging hand and to a God that promised that He would someday restore and do it. Can you say amen? He put no timetable on it. She just did what He moved on her to do. And there was no fanfare. She just did it because she loved God. What's happened to you and I and to the church that we got to have fanfare? Let's just obey God and just do it. Everybody say, just do it. Well, I would do it if God would promise me. If God would say to me, if you give $100 tonight, I'll bless you in 2 weeks from now, $10,000. There will be everybody up here with a $100 bill handed. It wouldn't matter if you had to borrow it. You'd be running to somebody. You might even Christian lie, spiritually mug somebody. You justify it in some way. Come on now. But God don't do that. Because God don't want you giving, amen, just to, giving out of that kind of attitude. Can you say amen? And she didn't do this with an attitude. There was no pledge drive going on. Elijah wasn't running no pledge drive. I believe in pledges. Don't fall out with me. I believe in what they're doing here. We do the same thing in my house. The work of God must move on. And bills have to be paid. I understand that. But you know what I'm talking about? There was no pledge. Mike Murdoch was not there playing the piano. Sow seed. Oh God, I did say it, did I not? Oh God, help me. He recorded that too. An old preacher from Florida, a couple that goes to my church, spends the winter down in Florida, found this old-fashioned Irish preacher, man. I'm telling you, he's on TV, Brother Frazier, but he ain't on the big show, but he's on TV. He said, Mike Murdoch, I knew your daddy, and your daddy wouldn't be happy with you. You're nothing but a scoundrel and thief. Oh, God. I did say that too, did I not? Oh, God. Edit that. Praise God. No, I don't care if you edit it or not. Mike Murdoch wouldn't care about a little bald-headed preacher saying anything anyhow, probably about him. But I'm saying, it wasn't no pledge drive. There wasn't nothing stimulating her or hyping her up. Build me a shed. Build me a chamber. And man, you know, you'll have 3 condominiums in Florida. Build me this and build me. Elijah didn't even ask her to build it. God moved on her to build it. I like it when God moves on people and I don't have to ask. God moves on them. At our convention in the spring, Brother Eastman, we come back from the Dominican Republic and they needed medicines in the clinic that they just built there and they didn't have no medicines. And while we have the meeting, the need, God smote my heart and dealt with me and said, you need to help them that. And so I thought, my God, I don't have no money to leave them. And so I said, I'm going to make it a matter of prayer and ask God to touch somebody or ask God to bless in some way. And I begin to pray, Lord, they need medicine down there. They need medicine in the Haiti right now. They got a clinic, an empty building, and they need some medicines. And I begin to pray. And come convention time, a dear old widow, her husband was a missionary. He was a good man of God. And they were on the mission field. Amen. Praise God. And she's got up there kind of, amen, a little bit. And she's getting kind of feeble and whatever. And you know, but you come to convention, loving God. And her son said, Mama's got something for you, Pastor Brady. I said, what? She got an offering for you. Amen. God laid it on her heart and said, she'd been meaning to send it to you. Amen. But she keeps forgetting. And said, she just keeps on pounding it up. Amen. Bless God. I said, well, what is it, Mama? Amen. She said, my son has it. And to the dollar that I asked God for was in that envelope. I said to her, she said, I'm sorry, I never sent it, I kept forgetting. I said, listen, if you'd have sent it 2 months ago, we'd have spent it somewhere else. But God, I said, God has His timing. And I said, man, this has encouraged me. Because I said, those in Haiti will have some medicine. Amen, we'll send this down. Praise God. To the dollar. I said, to the dollar. Exactly what the figure was. To the dollar. He's an on-time God. She thought she was late. She thought she was behind. But really she was on time and had the mind of God. Can you shout hallelujah? So I'm going to tell you, if you think you're behind, you may not be. You're probably walking right in the steps of the Lord and in the hand of the Lord and in the plan of God. Oh, glory. I know this is the last night, but let's blow this thing wide open and just go out in a shout. Hallelujah. I get tired of folks saying, well, what's it in it for me? Nothing. Well, that attitude, nothing's in it for you. I'd build you a chamber, Elijah, if you'd prophesy over me. Or I'd build you a chamber if you'd give me a child and pray that I get a... She had no preconceived idea. No selfish motive.
You want a miracle from God? Pull away your selfish motives and come to God just honestly and say to God, I have nothing to give you that's worthy of a king. And I have nothing that could give you that could buy a miracle. But I know who you are. Praise God. And what little that I have could never buy. But my obedience, obedience, obedience. Can you shout amen? My pastor tells the story. I tell a lot of his stories anymore because he's not able to tell them very much. And I said to Pastor, you don't mind me preaching some of your sermons. The other day in the prison I preached on, Abner died as a fool dieth. That was one of his favorites. And I told him, Pastor, that message still has power behind it. 50 men come to the Lord that night. Whew, he was happy. I said, you don't mind me borrowing your message, do you, Pastor? I carry it on. But I remember one night, he always comes with an offering to church. My pastor believes in giving. And I mean, if you're around him any length of time, I mean, he'll teach you to give. And Sunday morning, he only had a penny in his pocket. He left his wallet at home, and all he had was a penny. And he felt funny about it, but he gave it. The Lord said, give it. Pastor Jerry Spencer wasn't a pastor then. He was superintendent of the Sunday school in Mahaffey. And he turned around to get the offering. He always got pastor first. And pastor took that penny, put it right in the middle of the plate. Pastor said, I had a funny feeling before. He said, but when I put that penny in the middle of the plate, he said, I felt the power of God. He said, about a few days later, in his business, he needed God to move. The man called him up and said, I'm going to buy this piece of equipment off of you or whatever it was. I'm sending you a check now. He said, wiring it somehow. Exactly the amount he needed. He said, God taught him it's not the amount, it's obedience. He said it took him more faith to stir up to give a penny than it did for him to give thousands. And you know my pastor. I'd love to have been there to watch that struggle because he only had that penny. Can you? She was not motivated by anything but God. God. I wish for, I know I'm preaching to people that are that way tonight. You're like her, the Shumite woman. Oh, if I could just do, God, lay on my heart to do. And she did something. But unbeknownst to her, God was going to bless her. Can you say amen? Elisha called her, said, do you need something? No, I don't need anything. That was her statement, similar to that paraphrasing it, really. I don't need nothing. I'm blessed. I'm content. Oh, man. I could stay a while on that sermon there. Praise God. I'm content. You don't find too many Christians content today. I'm telling you, if Elisha would ask you and I, what do you have need of? Most of us would say, sit down. Now, I don't know if it was a sister from Titusville. Was it the one where God miraculously gave her money? Sister Hazel? And God miraculously? I think Sister Hazel asked me when I come up to Titusville. And she was, yeah. And she got scared and dropped it. And she asked me when I come up, Pastor Bray, you done. I said, I'd have rubbed it and taped it and rubbed it and taped it. That's why God don't do that to me, praise God. Because it would bring out a spirit in me, probably. I don't know. I'd have to repent. I'd rub it. We're paying the mortgage off. My God. We're paying my glory to God. That probably, but she threw it down. Humble servant, she was scared. Oh, God. But God miraculously. That's how Sister Hazel, she's a dear saint of God. Amen. Praise God. Love God. Gave to God. Amen. And so this Shunammite woman, she says to the man of God, I really don't know what need I have. And then Gehazi, let me tell you something. God can use people that aren't too spiritually swift. You know, I'm trying to be nice about it. Gehazi was not the sharpest act, nor was he the super spiritual. And really, sometimes you wonder how he ever got hooked up with Elijah and how Elijah ever put up with him. Praise God. Come on now. You know the Gehazis in your church. Amen, bless God. I mean, real carnal. And Gehazi was carnal, was he not? And his greed and carnality got him in trouble later on. You know the story. And Gehazi spoke up and said, I notice there ain't no children around here. Amen. I notice there's no children. I'm going to tell you, you don't got to ask, you don't got to say to God. God will know, God knows your need. I know you ask him, but God knows your need. Can you say amen? And she didn't come to him and say, all right, I built your chamber so I can have a child. That was not her motive. But God was getting ready to give her a miracle. I feel like tonight, somebody in here, you've labored, you've worked, you feel like you've been overlooked. But there's one person, and he's not a person, but he's a God that has not overlooked what you've done, even though it's been little and small. It's been big in the eyes of God. And God's getting ready to reward you and bless you. I've been there where I had no money to give. Pastor said that since I've been with Jesus and never was broke. I said, Pastor, I can't say that. I've been broke before I was with Jesus and I was broke now sometime. Matter of fact, the other day, Sister Lars, my wife called me on the cell phone and said, bring home some coffee. I said, I don't have no money. I'm broke. Went in, got my suit jackets and was going through them, you know. What I could wear and what, and she's been on me about my wardrobe, you know. Because I got things I can't wear no more. I wonder why. But she's been after me. So, Brother John, I'm putting them on. Boy, I can't wear this one. Here it goes. But I started feeling something. Wait a minute. Money. Oh. Can't wear this jacket. Money. Can't wear this one. Money. Can't wear these pants no more. I couldn't get them up. I'm hiking. I don't know how some of these women do it. Jump up. Hold them there. I'll jump in them. Can't stand something. If I can't breathe, sucking the wind out of me. Huh? But you know what, Eric? I couldn't wear them, but I reached in the pocket. Money. My God, I hope I can't wear all my wardrobe today. Can't pull the money out of all my pockets. Oh, the shoes I could wear, no money in them. Shoes I couldn't wear, money. Hallelujah. My wife called me back. You know, we're out of coffee. I said, I know, and we're out of bread. And I said, okay, I'm handling it. She said, you got money? I said, yeah. She said, how'd you get money? I said, I'm going to the bank somehow. I didn't tell her it was my suit jackets, because she'd be looking at them too. Ah, she'd been over there, amen, in my wardrobe. One time in a camp meeting, I had no offering. I felt bad. I had no offerings for camp meeting hardly at all. Things were real tight. And the same thing happened there. Every suit I put on, there was money in the pocket when it come to offering time. I didn't know how God did it, but he doesn't counterfeit or nothing. Amen. I didn't ask God. God said, don't ask me. Just pour out. I pulled it out every night. Church of God, preacher friend of mine years ago, said he was going through a hard place and his children. They had a little bit of milk and said they had cereal. Amen. And he said, we only got just a little bit of milk. I don't know if we can even wet the cereal. So by that time he poured and milk kept coming out. And it kept coming out. And he filled bowl and every bowl for his children. And he said he about ready to look in. And the Lord spoke with a bold voice. Don't look in there. Don't look in there. Put it back in the refrigerator. Now you may not believe this, but I do. Because I know that preacher real well. He said for a solid week. Oh, he said, do you believe that, Pastor Brady? I said, yeah, he owns a cattle on a thousand hill, and he gets milk of you. If you don't got it, God can help you. Can you say amen? He's a miraculous God. He's a God that will supply supernaturally. I believe we better start believing God because we're going to have to need him supernaturally supplying for us because the economy of our country is going down. But God is still up on his throne and still in control. And if you'll seek first his kingdom, he'll take care of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
So she said, I have no need. I don't even know. Jesus said, she has no children. Master, from this season now, you have a child. Notice what she says. I'm not going back up there. No, don't lie to me. That tells me she had been hurt somewhere down the line. That told me that her hopes had been dashed somewhere down the line. Don't lie to me, preacher. You know what? I wish some folks would be more honest and just come out and say, don't lie to me, preacher. Huh? I've had a few say, no, don't lie to me. I've had my hopes up before, and they dashed them. I tried to believe, and it just didn't work out. Don't lie to me. There's an empty nursery. There's an empty crib. Don't lie to me. Why would God touch such a sensitive chord in my heart? Why, all I did was build a chamber for you and invite you into my home. And all of a sudden now, you're touching an area that I don't want touched. Don't lie to me, prophet of God. Don't lie to me. See, I think sometimes when you start to obey God and do the small little things, it's leading up to a bigger thing. Can you say amen? And God knows exactly when you can handle some things. Can you say amen? He suppresses some things down and don't bring it up till it's time. Can you say amen? That's why I don't believe in this inner healing stuff and all this junk of psychology and that's got in the Pentecostal realm. Come on now. They're digging up things that have no business digging up then. They're bringing up things that God, they can't heal. And it isn't time for God to heal it or God to restore it. And so what they've done is crippled a whole lot of people and dash their hopes to the ground because they've dug up stuff. I know what it is. They put a chair in the middle, chair around them, sing Kumbaya. Now let's all confess our need to one another. There ain't no way I'm confessing to everybody in here. We're not Catholic. I'm not. We're very shallow and surfacey, are we not, around people? But with God, when God puts His finger on something, God never puts it on there to hurt you. If you're in here tonight and you've been hurt or disappointed in some way, God's not mad at you. And if you are just a little bit dismayed and kind of discouraged and your hopes have been dashed and crushed, God loves you. He don't want to hurt you. Can you say amen? He's not giving me this message to hurt you. He's giving it to me to help you. Life is not fair. And sometimes things don't work out the way we believe and hope. Can you say amen? I've had the very loved ones that we believe God for a miracle. But the miracle didn't come. And we had to bury them. 1 year I had buried Candy Lynn, my sister-in-law. 3 years later, the same funeral home, my father-in-law. I'm telling you, amen, bless God. We believe God for a miracle. We tried our best to believe God. And I believe we did believe God. But sometimes things don't quite work out the way you had planned it, I believe. I wish I could preach to you and tell you that everything will just come up roses and God will answer every prayer and everything will be a miracle. But I can tell you that in everything, God works out all things together for good. I can tell you that God is in every situation and He will bring it out for His glory. Come on now. But I wish I could tell you your heart won't get ripped out. I wish I could tell you that you won't get hurt. Some notice I have a condition in my body. Had a big time preacher in our camp meeting one time. Put me in a chair. I'm going to pull your leg out. I'm going to command it. I knew it wasn't going to happen no more than a man in the moon. Because it was the attitude. He was not doing it for my good, but for His good. He spotted me. When I first come into Pentecost with this condition of a short leg, I'm going to tell you what, every prayer line, they'd jump on me like a June bug. Human, praise God. I'd be running prayer lines, and they'd steal the prayer line, put me in a chair, and I'd be running the crazy thing. They're trying to pull. I won't tell you what. I don't know why God hasn't healed me yet. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you what, God don't humiliate people. When it didn't happen in front of everybody, he said, your faith is not strong enough. And that's why it's not happening. And he left me sit there. He walked out of that tent. Brother Older come by, put his arm around me and said, don't you listen to him. You got faith, Brother Brady. I don't understand it either. But you've got faith. That man's wrong. I needed that. I needed that. There's somebody in here, your faith has been crushed, and you need somebody to help you and pick you up and say, it's not your fault. Come on now. That Shunammite woman, she's screaming out for help. No, we're not going down this road again. Don't you lie to me. Come on now. Don't you hype this up and lie to me again. No way. I care not. There's somebody in here tonight that has that same kind of hurt that says, preacher, don't dare promise me something. I ain't promising you anything. I'm just telling you there's a God that will come to help you. Come on now. God said in your time, it'll happen. Can you say amen? God will come and heal the wound, will he not? God will come just in time when you need him, when you can't bear no more, and when you're carrying a heavy burden. God will come then, will he not? He saw something in her, and he saw the need. And so he moved on her to build a chamber so he could bless her. Amen. And what a blessing. A child, can you say amen? A child that she had for 12 years. Put him out in the fields with his father. You know the story. My head, he dies in her lap. Carries her. Amen. They carry him to his mother's lap. And he dies on her lap. Let me go this way. How many in here have got a promise? That God's given you a promise, and you're holding on to the promise. And yet the promise died. Do you hear what I'm saying? The promise died. It died in your lap. You didn't do anything wrong. It just died. A promise has to die in order to resurrect again. There's a season of death in every promise. Abraham got a promise. God walked among the sacrifice and said, I'm going to make you your seed like the stars of the sky and the sands of the shore. And yet Sarah was barren, and for 25 years she was still barren. They tried to do with Hagar and messed up big time, and we're having that problem now. And Tuesday I'm going to hear them go whatever they do. Grandma's got a Cadillac. Amen, praise God. And it's because of Ishmael, and it's because they moved out. Amen. Out of the will of God in a sense. Can you say amen? And so I'm here to tell you, but God came, amen, 20, when the promise died, when the Bible said Sarah's womb was barren and could not conceive anymore, and his body was old, but he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said. Can you say amen? That promise comes alive and then it dies. It dies. Died on her lap. I don't know if you've ever had something snatched away from you. I don't know if you've ever had this experience of a promise snatched away. You're holding it in your lap. And you're saying to God, why? You promised. God, why? I don't understand this. Maybe you've not paced the floor and wept bitter hot tears and cried to God, I don't understand. Maybe you've not got down and prostrated and said to God, I'm but a human being, I'm but flesh, have pity on me, I can't understand what you're doing here. I don't understand this. Rock this baby, rock the child, 12 years old, rock him and pray. And he gives, grasps his last breath, dies. Somebody in here, you're in different stages of this. You're in the stage where you're just building for the miracle. Some of you are in the stage where God has promised you and then it was snatched from you. And death has come.
What do you do in that moment? Do you just give up and say, well, it must have not meant to be. Or somehow, I don't understand, I must have grieved God or sinned. Did something wrong. I can imagine the thoughts flooding through her mind. What did I do wrong? I don't even know what I did. I told the man of God, it would have been better that he never come into my life. I'm blaming the preacher. Had the lady do that. Husband had a great big tumor size of a grapefruit. The doctors gave him 3 months to live. We told her to hold on. We believe in God. She got her husband lived 2 more years. The tumor even shrunk, but he passed. At the funeral, she said, I hate God. I will not be back to church. I said, God give you 2 more years. God let your husband see his granddaughter graduate. Can't you see the kindness? I can't see nothing but a God that ripped my husband from me. Some people are that way. They can't see past the hurt. And I don't fault them for the hurt. I was preaching a funeral one time, worst funeral I ever preached. It was so hard. Young boy hung himself in the garage. Got up trying to do one of them things they do, you know, and hung himself. The bucket come loose and he didn't mean to, probably hang himself. I knew him. He was too mischievously and too lively to want to take his life. Grandmother hollered as I began to try to preach. She hollered out, God, I hate you. Hard to preach with that. I said, Mama, I can't even imagine your pain. Don't blame God. I can't even imagine your pain. To have a grandson found in a garage hanging. But don't blame God. But I understand the pain. And I can understand the temptation almost for some people to say, if that's a loving God or whatever. I don't know. I don't go there because it's not right. I don't go there. Amen. I don't go there. Amen. Because Christians shouldn't go there. You know what I'm saying? She didn't go there. She held him. I don't know how long she held him. And I don't know what's running through her mind. And I can't even imagine what would be running through my mind. But she stands up and she starts to walk up to the chamber where it all started. You don't hear me tonight. You in whom the promise has died and you're holding that and you're holding on to whatever. The locust and the cankerworm has eaten everything. And there's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing left to hold on to. Amen. But God. But He's everything to hold on to. Is He not? Because He promised to restore what the locust and the cankerworm and the pommel worm ate away. He promised to rise up out of the ashes of Ziklag and give you beauty for ashes. Did He not? Hallelujah. So don't let the devil tempt you. Amen. She could have had a memorial service and said, I guess it's over. I guess God only wanted me to have him for 12 years or whatever. But something in her told her, take it back to where it started. Can you say amen? I'm here to tell somebody tonight, don't give up on them. Take it back to where God started it all. The promise God gave you. That child that's wayward now. That child you dedicated to God and lifted before the Lord. That vial is still there. That promise is still there. I don't care how far they've gone away. Take that child back to God. Take it back to the author and the finisher of your faith. Can you shout hallelujah? Come on now. She got up and she went right back and laid him on the bed of the man of God and then said to her husband, saddle me a donkey. I'm going to church. I'm going to tell you, if she lived today, child, new services would be there in a moment. CNN would be there. Neglective mother. But it's not the child, the story goes beyond the child. It's a promise. And the promise lives. I said the promise lives. The devil can lie and the circumstances can tell you the promise is dead. But, amen. But this is only a season. I'm carrying it and taking it back to God. It's only a season. I'm believing for resurrection. I'm believing for restoration. Can you say amen? Oh, man. Somebody needs to rise up and say, I'm taking this back to God. God is able to restore what the enemy has devoured. God is able to turn it around. Come on now. Am I the only one that have areas? Am I the only one that have promises that have died on my lap? Am I the only one that's going through a season of death in some ways? And it seems like there's no anointing and the promise has faded so far that I can't even hardly grasp any hope at all. But I've just got to trust in a God that said, though I cannot see, though I cannot even, bless God, see anything, I've got to trust in a God that promised. Can you say amen? Hey, the man of God isn't there, but she's going to rise up and go look. And when she got there, God didn't even tell Elijah the problem yet. He said to her, is it well with you? Yes. Is it well with your husband? Yes. And now comes the question that you've got to answer tonight. Is it well with your son?
Let me rephrase it. Is it well with your promise? Huh? Is it well with your promise? So, oh, it's well with me. Well with my husband. Is it well with your son? God let Elijah not know because she had the answer right. And the preacher, your pastor don't have no answer for you. Your pastor don't got no quick fix for you. Come on now. Quit putting pressure on him. He's not God. God don't show him everything. God wants you to answer back. Sometimes you must answer, it is well.
I have some folks, I never know when they're sick. Because they hide it real good and it is well. And I got other folks, my Lord. They can't hide a toenail hurt or something, you know what I'm saying? God bless them, I love them. But she hid it. Is it well? And then she finally broke. My son, I laid him on your bed, Elijah. I took him back to where it all started. And I don't understand why, but it is well. Elijah goes up to the chamber, lays himself nose to nose, eye to eyes, mouth to mouth on that child. I believe the Bible says three times he did it, maybe. Not the first time. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you listening to me? It may not resurrect immediately, but it will resurrect. Look at your neighbor and tell him it will resurrect. Because there's no expiration date on a promise. And there's no expiration date on a miracle. Can you say amen? It's not like God changed his mind. It's not like God said, well, I can't do it. Now, I guarantee you, there are some situations that seem irreparable and maybe cannot be repaired totally. But God can restore and bring joy back to some situations. Can you say amen? Oh, man. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here right now. I feel like a resurrection service, amen. I feel like you came in with the devil, you came in with flowers, and you came in ready to bury your promise. And all of a sudden now hope has risen in your heart, and you're grabbing a hold of the unchanging hand of God, and you're saying, Lord, it ain't over till you say it's over. Can you shout hallelujah? Look at your neighbor and tell him it ain't over till God says it's over. God is in control. It is well. It is well. It is well with my promise. For my promise came from God. Not my head, not a person, but God, who's eternal, who's infallible. God promised. And I'm holding on to the promise of God against all of our hearts. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Raise your hand to the Lord and say it is well. It is well with my promise. the promise you give me, it is well in my soul tonight. I'm bruised. I'm hurting. I'm wounded. And I'm discouraged some. But I can lift my hand and say, it is well. Because God says, it is well. Amen. I'm having a hard time myself saying it's well, brother. But God says it's well. Come on now. God says it's well. Amen. So I got to rise above the ashes and encourage myself in the Lord and say it's well. It's well. Because God said it's well. Can you say amen? God said. God said. There's, oh my. Somebody in here needs to hear that. It is well with the promise of God. God will resurrect and restore and help you. If you let Him help you tonight, come on now. If you let Him help you, will you stand to your feet all across this tabernacle tonight? I want those that will come and gather around this altar tonight that will come and pray and say, Lord, it's well with my promise. I'm bringing the promise back to you. I'm bringing the situation back to you. It may be a sickness in your body. It may be a loved one that's lost. It may be something, I don't know what it may be, but it's the most tender thing in your heart. Matter of fact, for some of you, only you and God knows some of the situation. Ain't anybody else know it? So why don't you come and bring it right back to where it started, to the author and the finisher of your faith, and lay it down at this altar and say to God, I believe it is well, the promise is real, and God, you are able. And I'm bringing it, coming to you now. I'm coming to you now. I'm coming to you now. Bruised, hurting, wounded, but I'm coming to you now. I'm coming to you now. I'm crying out to you, Lord, because you're able. You're able, God. You're able. I don't know, but He's able. He's able, sis, tonight. He's able tonight. He's able. I said He's able for you tonight. He's able. I know the questions are in your mind, your struggle, but He's able. I know, amen, that you struggle tonight, but He's able. Can we have a sister come and pray for her tonight? I don't know where she come from, but I know she's come a long way to get here. Amen, talking spiritually wise. She's going through a great battle right now. It is well. The promise is well for her tonight. Pray that God will help her. I'm telling you, God will help you. God will help you. Oh, the enemy of your soul said to you, it's over. God don't love you no more. God's not going to answer your prayer. But I'm going to tell you, no matter what happens, you can trust Him that it'll be well. Whatever God does, He does right. And He does well. He works all things together for good. Ah, pray for her tonight. Pray that she don't leave this tabernacle the same way she came tonight. Bleeding and hurting. We're living in a hurting world. Children of God are hurting. I mean, devastated. Mothers are weeping and fathers are weeping. Parents don't know what to do about some situations. Oh, my God. Sickness racking bodies. Oh, but I'm here to tell you there's a God. There's a God that's on the throne and He hasn't changed. Oh, take it to God. Leave Him there. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there.